All right, well, welcome back. This is our Tuesday workshop, Your Story, God's Glory. And I'm glad that you are all here. And I'm Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly podcast. Ciao. All right, and we're going to begin just with an introduction of why we're here and how we're here, what that looks like. Tony, go ahead and, we're all over here. Go ahead and sign in on the sheet that's on the table that you walk past. Could grab your name, Chad, make yourselves at home. Good morning, Jody, glad you're here too. And I have a seat saved for you up here. Someone's on the other side, which one can join us. All right. Welcome again, and glad that you are all here. And we are going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a very action-packed 2 hours. So buckle your seatbelts. Quick, before we begin, I want to give you just a little bit about me. I know some of you personally, and others of you are new friends, and others of you are mysteriously connected. We haven't figured out how. We're going to find out how we're connected in just a minute. But just a little bit about me. I blog at jennifergrichmond@blogspot.com. Oh, Miss Tony, I have plenty of chairs. Anyway, but that's fine. Okay.
Not with room.
So I blog at jennifergrichmond@blogspot.com. And I would invite you to follow that blog. You can see there my a little bit about what I'll be talking about today. You'll find on the blog also. I also podcast at a podcast called Dwelling Richly, which I referenced in the intro as well. You can follow that on any podcasting app on your phone. And you can get that on iTunes. And then also, just so you know, not only am I doing an audio recording of this, but all of the slides are going to be available to you as a downloadable PDF. So you can don't have to be crazy about taking notes, unless you just love being crazy and take notes. Go for it. But I'm going to have all the slides available for you after the workshop through email. I've been an ACSI workshop presenter. This is a national platform called the Association of Christian Schools International, where I speak and teach other teachers how to teach. So my passion has always been education, no matter what venue the Lord opens for me to do that. And most of my career has been in working with elementary age kids and teachers. And so ACSI provided me a platform to speak and present there. I also lead and write women's Bible studies. So I'm currently writing the 13th Bible study, and we are in the book of Hebrews right now. Super fun. And those take place here at this church and also available online. You can join the Bible study on Facebook, and you can also join it through the Dwelling Richly podcast. So those are available as online or an in-person Bible study. I also write weekly devotionals and make those available. Those are generally based on homilies that I deliver at our church. I'm the women's pastor here full-time, and so I'll write up a devotional, and then I'll usually share those on my blog as well. I also have written for Creative Teaching Press. This is, as the name implies, a publishing company for teachers. And you can actually still find my book. It might take Amazon a little while to spin through all the really important books that are out there, but my book actually is still on Amazon. I double-checked the other day. I'm like, I wonder if it's still there. It's called More Alternatives to Worksheets, and it gives teachers other options on how to better connect with their students rather than just, here's a worksheet, get it done. I'm very much in favor of more hands-on engaging style. I've also illustrated. I've illustrated 6 books. Those are published and out and available. And so I have that in my hat as well as being a musician. So I've actually published, I know. I'm really only going all through this because I want us to get where our stories are coming from. And so this brings me to where we are today. As a musician, I've written and published 2 albums. Go ahead and silence your phones as I'm thinking about it. Or if you don't know how to, ask your neighbor. Someone will tell you. And just so we can have that quiet time in here. That was Pastor Jay's phone, by the way. I don't think it was anybody in here, right? This is just crazy loud because he's half deaf. Turn off your phone, Jay. as a musician, I wrote and published or had published 2 albums of Christian worship music. And, of course, like all of you, probably grocery lists and other stuff. So just lots and lots and lots of writing in my life. So what I am is probably almost as important as what I'm not. I'm not some big fancy writer. You didn't come and find some writer who's got 40,000 or 400,000 or 4 million followers. I'm not that person. There's people who have that and more. Like a girlfriend of mine started writing her story on a blog, and she ended up getting a publishing deal out of it because she was able to get, she resonated with so many other women. You can follow her on caseypratt.com. Anything that I say that doesn't get on the screen, ask me later, jot it down. Just fill it up phonetically, and I'll give you the links later. But I'm just a simple person. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. I love the Lord. I love connecting with people. And in some capacity along the journey, God's given me small platforms to share that. And so that brings us here today, and it's why I have a story, in part. And those of you who've heard my story before know that this is just a very small slice of that. You can listen to my story. It's called Unexpected Hope, and it's on the podcast, Dwelling Richly, and that'll tell you about my journey with depression and substance abuse and a very challenging marriage. So that's another part of my story. I whet your appetite for that. all right, so that's what I'm doing here. What are we doing here together today? We are here to get real, all right? We're here to... you've got a cluster or a blob or a spinning tornado of ideas and thoughts and concerns and emotions and experiences in your brain and your heart. And so we're going to here to kind of bring that in and help provide you some anchor and focus for that. We're here to get going because some of you have been wanting to write for a while and you're like, I just can't ever move it forward and actually make this happen, right? And so we're going to get going on that. We're here really to give you the big picture. This is what I'm calling a macro workshop, and you're going to feel it when you leave because your brain's going to be like that old filing cabinet in your garage where it's just packed with a ton of files that you still need to go through. So this isn't one file. This is the entire filing cabinet. I'm going to give you a lot of information today, and then this will be a launching pad for the potential of us to come back together and maybe do other micro workshops. We're going to write today a lot. So that's why I asked everybody to bring paper. There's paper provided for you in the back if you didn't get enough and need more. And then we're also going to be connecting today. You can connect with me, and I'm going to provide opportunities for you to connect with one another, which is why I had the tables paired the way I did. So when you filled out your registration, I asked you to share your concerns about what you had about sharing your story, and I also asked that you would tell me what you were most hoping to learn at this workshop. And I figured by asking those two questions, I would get pretty similar answers, and I did. Here's what we're here for. I'm guessing that whether you said this or not, you will resonate with some aspect of what other people wrote. To write out your story and share it in written form, to be more prepared and to nail down what parts to share, to provide structure to my story, to help me understand where God wants me to share and reach people and be effective in pouring God's love, to have better openness and communication through writing, to be able to put my words down in a story that flows, to gain tips on how to blog, new writing techniques, how to start, helping me write, or helping finding someone that could help me write, how to write properly, and again, blog came up quite a bit in several of the comments that were on the website. So thank you for filling those in. It's helpful for people to hear from one another, and I want to share that. And again, you'll have the opportunity to share in our groups as well in just a minute. And so as we move in, we're going to begin by going through the W's of writing. How many of you remember that when you were a kid? You had maybe if you did journalism in college, or maybe in high school, or even elementary, you were taught the W's of writing, right? And so we're going to actually take the idea of those W's and apply them really personally. So before I move ahead, a couple of things. One of them, the nature of this room makes it difficult for us to have multiple conversations going on. We used to have carpeting in here, and so it would absorb the sound a little better, but I don't need a mic because my voice is echoing so much. So that being said, when you go in to talk, your voice is going to really bounce around the room. So let's be understanding of that and just try to engage in our table with that mindset. And then when I come to bring the group back together, can you help by actually stopping your conversation and coming back together? Because it'll be a lot of talking, and I want this to be beneficial for all of us. And then also because the people who couldn't attend, they're going to be listening to the recording, and I want them to catch everything. So just be mindful of the really big echo factor of this room. And so talk in your groups, and then when I bring you back, try to silence it down and just come back in. All right, because we're going to do some writing and sharing in just a minute. All right, so the first we want to start with is the big why. And this is our macro moment. Again, this workshop is a macro workshop. It's the big picture. We're going to go through a lot of content today. And so the big why, maybe it's for catharsis. And I shared a little bit of the why by reading some of the things that you wrote. And so categorizing those, maybe there's a cathartic element in being able to write your story. Even deeper than that, maybe it's therapy. Like writing your story is good, which is the root of therapy. It's good for you. Maybe you need affirmation. Maybe by sharing your story in the past, even little snippets of it in small bites on Facebook or Twitter or a little blog, maybe if you've already started, you got good affirmation. Maybe you shared at a women's Bible study a little bit of your story and someone said, that's really amazing, and that touched your heart, made you feel like, it is? Oh. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you realize, this is kind of amazing, and I guess I do have a story. It's affirming when you get that feedback from people, and that's good. Maybe it's just for fun. Maybe you're in that season of life now where you can have fun. Some of us are still in that season where we're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. I'm no longer in that season. I'm empty nesting now, and I don't have anyone at home except me and my hubby and our poodle and a couple of dust bunnies. And then, but I have a lot more time to spend, so I can have more fun time, it feels like. And maybe you have a message, and part of your why is somewhere in between there and all around in that moment. So right now what I'd like us to do is I'm going to have you join with your group, and Rachel, I'm going to go ahead and have you join over here with these gals, and so that you'll have a group to be in, or turn right there if you want to just pull your chair there if that's easier. Okay, and I just shared with your group why you're here. What are you hoping to get out of this workshop? And did any of these things I wrote up here resonate with you, or anything I read before that? So go ahead and share with your group. All right, go ahead and wrap up your talk right there, and hopefully each of you got a chance to share. And so would anyone like to just share what came out of your group with the rest of us?
We'll share.
Okay, Diana's going to share over here. Go ahead.
My daughter says, you stole my story. mine is the catharsis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just so that I can ensure that, you know, it's being delivered in the right way.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anyone else want to share?
Can somebody share what catharsis is?
Catharsis is a process of emotionally going through something, and in the process of going through, it helps you to release what you've been experiencing, and it can be beneficial or it can be devastating. Catharsis moves you through an experience. Therapy is where you're moved through an experience through the process. And it's beneficial. Catharsis can be either or, can be beneficial or not. It's an opening, it's a flowing of moving through. So good. Any other? Not sure.
Mine will probably be more like in the area of therapy and mm-hmm. affirmation. Mm-hmm. Where I'm at today, I went through a lot of pain since I was about 5, mm-hmm. and some hard things, and came into Christianity only a year and, 2 months or so.
Wow.
And once I found myself with God, my life has changed so amazingly. And so my goal is to write this book about my childhood and life and everything else, but not in a way of for me, in a way of each chapter will represent where I'm at today. And so I think that my story got out this weekend, just a small, tiny bit of it. And Sunday, so many people were just touched. And so it really, I had already been thinking and started writing, but it really made me realize, yes, this is something, because if I can reach more people like myself who was afraid to walk into church, didn't really trust church,
okay.
Becoming this person who represents God in such an incredible way. So,
awesome.
If I could reach them, that would be great.
And I think for the most part, when we hear somebody else share their why, we resonate with at least an aspect of that personally. And we know somebody else who will. So when someone says something and shares, you're like, oh, yes, that's me. Or, oh, yes, that's so-and-so. And so story connects us, right? And that's what we were designed to do, connect, right? And that's how what God wants to see us to do that. So as we move forward in our why, we have the big why. And the big why will address what you do when you leave this room and why you even came to begin with. Now, the little why. The little why is the micro moment. The micro moment is the moment when you actually get that pen out and you write it down. You get your computer out and you type it out. In the micro moment, you're going to ask, what's the point? That point is going to be anchored somewhere in your big why. But in the micro moment of actually doing the writing, you're going to need to ask, what's the point of this moment that I'm writing these thoughts, right? Who am I writing? Who's getting this? Where is this going? Is it just going out for now into the universe in a sense? Or do I have a target audience in mind? What's my motivation? So what's the point is forward. You're aiming toward that point. But motivation is from behind. It's pushing you into the point. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You feel that? The difference there? All right. So we have the big why, and that's what brought you into this room, what you're hoping to leave with, you're going to hope to tighten that up a bit. We could, again, like I said at the intro, this is a macro workshop. So we could literally take an entire workshop, 2 full hours or more, and just focus on the macro why, the big why. We could take another 2 full hours and do the micro why. And maybe we will. Maybe the Lord will lead us along that way. But for now, we'll just do this sweeping overview to get your brain moving in that direction. And then maybe you don't know in that moment why. You just felt like something's in your brain. You're just going to get it out, off your heart, onto paper, into your computer. You don't even know. You don't even know if you're ever going to hit publish and move it to somebody else. You're just going to get it out. So these are all, this is a little why in a macro moment. Donald Murray, as an educator, teacher, a writer, and he writes about writing and how to help people write. He wrote, writing might be magical, but it's not magic. It's a process, a rational series of decisions and steps that every writer makes and takes, no matter what the length, the deadline, even the genre. And so because writing can feel like, how do people do that? It can feel mysterious. You can feel like maybe other people can do it and I can't. Then you are released from basically obeying the Holy Spirit. I'll just speak that because you're all Christian women, I assume, in this room, that you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit to be here. But if you move it out to it's magic and it's something magical that's out there, other people apparently have this magical gift, then that somehow releases you from really obeying the Holy Spirit because you don't really have that gift. And so we're going to open with that to say right now it might be magical because there's something inspiring and amazing and sparkly and crazy about it, but it's not magic. It's a process. It's rational. And there are steps. And so my hope and hint today is to help you find that first step and move and go, oh, I can land on this step. And then, oh, there's another step. And while there's many ways to approach writing and how you're going to move through those steps, there are steps. And you can move through it. How many of you, if I asked you what your favorite color could complete in a complete sentence, could answer by saying what your favorite color is?
Purple.
So, see, that's not a complete sentence, but close. Okay, so again, back to the question. Okay. How many of you, if I asked you to say it in a complete sentence, could say what your favorite color is in a complete sentence? So go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say that to your neighbor.
My favorite color is green.
There you go.
My favorite color is purple.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
More than one favorite color.
There we go. Okay.
My biggest power is pasta.
There you go. I have a whole category of pasta. Okay. So bring it back up here. So in asking you that question, it was easy enough for you to just pick, make a sentence. You had a color that popped into your brain, or a category of colors. Awesome. Purple, obviously. Tony and I both are the purple girls in the room. Maybe there are others of you, but we really, really are. And Tony even trumps me because she actually wears purple coats and she's like all purple. Today is unusual
it's
for you, Tony.
I've seen her not in with no purple.
I know, it's very unusual, yes.
Actual
color scheme schedule. That. You should write about that. So we can take a word, we can put it in our brain, think it, and bring it out, and speak it, okay? That didn't take any effort. No one was like, I can't. Right? Why? Because you're not in kindergarten anymore, and you learned how to put sentences together. You've been talking since you were able to talk, probably sooner than your mom wished and would have liked you to be quiet, because you probably are communicators to some degree. Why can you put that frame together quickly and get that out? You practice it all the time. You do it all the time. Your life requires it. You do it. Your brain continues to pull sentences together. Why then, when we approach writing, do we say, I can't do it? I'm not going to be able to do it. You've learned how to talk, you put sentences together, you can do that. Why? I practice that a lot. I needed to do that. I like to do it. People hear me. Whatever. So let's make your list. Move that same mental, those same reasons and that rationale over to writing. The I can't write, I'm not going to be able to write, this isn't going to come together for me. Put that in the category of, I call BS on that, and now move everything over to anything I want to do. If I practice that, I can end up doing it. I could. I can do that. Why? Because you're going to practice it. Number one. Number two, and this overarches even number one, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. As a Christian woman, this is a Christian women's writer's workshop, basically, your story, God's glory, that's where we're pointing. I believe that God has called you into this room for a reason. And because of that, if at this point you deny what you've been prompted in your Holy, in the Holy Spirit to do, to share your story, to some degree, I'm going to make a bold, big statement on that, you're in disobedience. You have been... You are in this room. You felt a prompting to be here. If you are not living a life of crazy narcissistic sin and ignoring the Holy Spirit, whatever, outside of some craziness like that, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're not living in sin. You're prayed up, confessed up, and attended to the Holy Spirit. You need to write your story. You're here for that reason. So to leave here today and then put that back on the shelf, good luck. The Holy Spirit can let that slide. You are here for a reason, and you're going to have to move forward with that to some degree. Now, that's not me giving you a timeline. That's just me saying, obey the Holy Spirit and His prompting. And anything that comes up in your mind that says, I can't, put it in the category of at least an excuse and potentially sin. So that's a big, bold statement, but I'm going to stand by that because I believe as Christian women, we need to honor the Holy Spirit's prompting in our heart and the skills, the experiences, opportunities that He brings to us, and then we're going to move forward into that. Amen? All right. So this quote, Donald Murray, reminds us that our writing is, it might be magical, but it's not magic, and we can find the steps to do that. So moving on into our W's of writing, we are writing who. So we need to identify who we are as writers first. Okay, that's important. And this is, again, years of therapy we could go through to find out who you are, but writing's cheaper. So this will, it's true, and this will help you to move through this. I'm going to put up some bullet points here, and then we're going to move back into them, and I'm going to talk you through. First is to find your voice. We're going to be working through on that. The next is to tell your story aloud. Tell your story aloud. Tell it to yourself aloud. Get a voice recorder. Tell it to someone who loves you and is patient with you and can deal with you and, you know, enjoys you. Tell it out loud. Honor your voice. Honor your voice. And then we'll go to the next, the last one in just a minute. All right. So back to find your voice. So talking is different than writing. When I say voice, I don't mean audibly what you're hearing coming out in sound waves that are impacting your brain in a physical sense. Like I'm literally sending sound waves to you. Your brain is processing it. You're hearing my voice. That's not the same as writing. It's not in that. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, some of us are so comfortable with hearing our voice that we talk more than we listen. And that's going to be a problem for those of you who want to be a true writer and really connect with people. Many of us deal and have to deal with the reality that we like to talk because we like to think out loud and process out loud. And that's how God made you. Awesome. But when you're going to become a writer, we need to value listening and talking. And honestly, you need to listen more than you talk. You need to hear from people and pause your mouth. If you're constantly in the mode of, I'm just going to just fill silence with my voice, outside of some psychological disorder that you might have, that's a problem. And it's going to prevent you from being honest and real in your writing. All right? And so when you're in conversation and groups and one-on-one with your husband, with a friend or whatever, I want you to be attentive to how much your voice is out there and how much that other person's voice is out there. And are you willing to hear? All right? You need to breathe in a conversation. Physically, actually, sit back, pull your shoulders back, take a deep breath, and breathe and hear. How much am I saying? You need to wait in a conversation. You need to be there for that person. You need to listen in a conversation more than you speak, if possible. And you need to ask good questions. All of these will contribute to ultimately you finding your voice, because you are going to hear more what other people are saying and not the droning on and on and on about your story in that moment, face to face with people. Write your story. Get it out in that way. But be an attentive listener. It will help you find your voice, because you'll bring in other people's heart and their story into yours. It'll move in and through what you're experiencing. And then when you go to write it, you'll have so much more depth. The people who talk more in conversations are the ones whose writing is this deep, about a quarter of an inch. The people who listen, who engage with others, breathe in a conversation, man, their writing is way deeper. Why? Because they're bringing in other people's story. And it's not about just vomiting my thought process on paper. It's about engaging with the world, engaging with myself, and sharing it in a way that's actually beneficial. This is all part of finding your voice. So one of the things, what does it look like then to find our voice? Well, again, talking it out loud will help. You'll hear yourself in a different way if you record it and listen back. It's a little bit of a horrifying experience to listen to yourself and hear it and play it back. But you want to do that. You want to move in. So if you think your voice is horrible, rather than just landing it out there and letting that be how you're going to define yourself, it's not true. Does anyone think your voice is horrible? Everyone say no. It's not horrible. But when you go to listen to it, you're going to be super critical. But you need to embrace that and then move back from that a little bit and redefine that. But I'll let you get into that a little bit more. Another thing about finding your voice is important, because if you don't have your voice, then when you go to write, it's like a clanging gong, gong and all that. It's not because you don't have love, you do, but you're not really promoting who you are and sharing that. A good way to help you find your voice is this next exercise I'm going to do with you right now. So you're going to need your paper and pen ready to go. And I would like you right now, as I'm talking, to be thinking about your favorite restaurant, a great restaurant that you love. No words coming out of your mouth. I want you just to put it in your mind. Think of your favorite restaurant. Now, I ask you a question. I say, what's your favorite restaurant? Where do you like to go? And you tell me this restaurant. And let's imagine I've never been there. And so you're going to have to say, oh, this restaurant is great because, and this is what that restaurant is. This is what you experience when you get there, whatever. So I'd like you to be thinking about your favorite restaurant. You're going to tell me about it, even if it's Chili's and we've all been there, whatever. Whatever your favorite restaurant is, I'll just pretend like I've never been there. I just moved here from Oogabogway, whatever, and you're going to tell me about your favorite local restaurant. And I just made up that country. Don't go looking up Oogabogway later. And so you're going to tell me about Oogabogway, you're going to tell me about your restaurant. Oh, that would be an interesting writing assignment. That'll be our creative writing workshop. You're going to tell me about your favorite restaurant. I want you to describe it. And So I'm going to, we're going to move into now what the part of the workshop where I'm going to do some really focused writing. And so again, I'm going to ask that when I ask you to come back, just come back as fast as you can. I usually try to give you a cushion to come back because I know you're trying to write your finishing words. But then within that cushion, once I start talking, just try to bring your focus back in so your mind can move forward. Let me tell you, 10-year-olds, way better than grown-ups on this. And I've done this workshop with kids and adults and everybody. Little kids are way better because they don't got 300 things in their brain. They're like, what did he say, teacher? They're just like right back there. Except for Chatty Cathy in the corner. She's always, you know. So anyway, here we go. Write your restaurant description. And the other thing I do in this workshop, and I'm not going to give you very many directions, just a concept for directions. And so your tendency will be to ask me to clarify, ask me another question. And then if you're 10, you're going to say, does spelling count? No, spelling doesn't count. Grammar doesn't count. No one's going to check your penmanship. You're not going to have to show anybody this. You don't even have to share it in just a minute. But don't ask me to clarify anything. Just trust me that what little I've given you is all I really need, because this is going to create for you what's called a benchmark, where you're going to go back to this later and go, oh, okay, well, that's where I was in that moment. So I'm not going to give you writing instructions. I'm not going to tighten it up. I'm not going to give you a word count. I will in just a minute, but not on this one. And that's it. So you're going to describe your restaurant to someone who has no idea what it is. Ready to go. All right, about 15 seconds. All right, finish that last phrase or words that you're writing. And go ahead and turn to your group and just share what you wrote. All right, wrap up in your groups. Hopefully everyone had a chance to share. What was your favorite restaurant? I'm going to let you know.
I wanted to take you to El
Ranchito. Oh, yeah, that's right, El Ranchito. Okay, you still have to go. All right. Okay, so bring it back over here. So the reason why you were able to describe your restaurant probably is because your restaurant has a strong identity. Your restaurant, when you go, you know what you like, you know what kind of food it is, you know where it is. Maybe you've been like the waiter, the server, whatever it is you like, the food probably. Hopefully you all have some good restaurant recommendations, by the way. We can call those later, make it a whole new list. Now we're all hungry. Amen. But I want us to think in the same way that you were able to bring in and describe your restaurant, could you do that with what you want to do with your writing? Could someone visiting your blog, for the sake of simplicity, I'm assuming everyone knows what a blog is, could someone visiting your blog leave there and then tell a friend, oh, I found this new blog, this is what it's all about? Think of your blog as the restaurant for writing where people are going to go. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And I would like you to, this is part of the exercise of finding your voice. When you can pull in who you are in the sense that someone could come to your restaurant blog and leave and tell somebody why they would go there, you're doing good. You're doing good. You found your voice. If it's nebulous to other people, it's nebulous to you. Okay? So there's a saying that goes in preaching, if there is a mist in the pulpit, there's a fog in the pew. And it goes for writing as well. If there's a mist in your writing, there's a fog in your readers. They're not going to be there for you either. This is about finding your voice and tightening up your story. And this is also goes back to Donald Murray's quote about the steps. When you move through those steps, you will tighten it up. So I'm going to say that right now and just land that out there because you need to do this. This is very important. But I also don't want you to despair in this moment and go like, I don't have a voice. I don't even know what I want to say or how. I get it. You don't know. That's why you're here. Good job. But this is going to move you through some of the steps for that. But this, we have to be prioritizing on finding our voice. And so I mentioned already to tell it out loud, to tell it to yourself, to record yourself, and to be kind to yourself. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But share it, get it out there, honor your voice, and don't be someone else. Seriously, don't be someone else. You are going to be inspired by a lot of writers out there. I am. There's writers that I read, I'll quote from them even more, that I think, how did they even bring those words together? How did they think to describe it in that way? That's really, and it feels very magical the way they say it. And so you're tempted to despair on your own skill set. Don't suffer from what I say call thesaurusitis, going to your thesaurus to try to find all your words and then just substituting them in. This will show your reader you don't have a voice. You can start there for a launching pad. I'm going to give you some techniques to avoid the problem with overusing your thesaurus. And it comes off as fake. It's not going to be readable. People are going to maybe go there for interest and curiosity, but then they won't come back, and then you'll be dissatisfied because you'll know in your heart you're not really being true to yourself. So along with the who you are as a writer, you need to start thinking about for whom are you writing. Are you writing for other women? Who's your audience? Are you writing for families, people with families? Are you thinking about writing for younger people, kids? I mean, there's hundreds of categories we could throw up there right now, but I'd like you to be involved in that part of your process. Is like, who's my story for? Obviously, anyone could potentially benefit from someone's story, but you should have some sense of who your target audience is, and it's likely you. You're your target audience. You're your target demographic. You've heard the saying that you should write what you know, and this is true. It's not just a saying. It's true. Don't write for people whose life experiences you haven't experienced. You've experienced your life and where you are, and, you know, we all look like we're about 30-something in this room, right?
Yeah,
I'm joking, clearly. Receive it.
I actually am.
And you know what? You just be quiet. A whippersnapper over here. Yeah. Everybody else, 30s, woohoo! All right. So who are you writing for? For whom are you writing? Think about your audience. I'm not going to belabor that point, but that's an important part of finding your voice, because who are you speaking to is going to capture. You're going to talk differently if you're working with kids, if you were working with families in general, mommy groups and things like that. But put that down and start thinking about that. All right. So again, in a macro sense, we need to identify the when of our writing. The when of our writing involves you making this a priority. If not that, again, you're going to get all the PowerPoints in an email, so you don't have to be crazy about writing, like I mentioned before. So make it a priority of when you're going to write. Anything that you value in life, you take time to do. For example, it's probably unlikely anyone showed up today without having brushed their teeth. Why? Because you value your teeth, and you don't want them to fall out of your head, and you value your friends, and you don't want them to be repulsed by your nasty monster breath. So you probably brushed your teeth, you probably brushed your hair, you showed up, right? You value that. You value your hair, your public appearance. So if you value writing, you're going to make it a priority. It's important to you. You're going to make it a win. So the when you write is going to involve short writing first, and this is just the go writing, the quick go. Write it short and go. Ways to do that is to keep a journal handy. Always have paper and pen ready. You can have a voice recorder on your phone. You could have an app called Evernote, which is a great app to use on your phone because it'll sync over to your computer. And you can also save things directly to Evernote right from websites. Kind of like Pinterest for writers in a sense. You can just pin things right over to Evernote. It's really cool. It's not public, but it could be shareable and all that. And the nice thing about Evernote is that there's also voice recording feature inside of Evernote. So when I go to conferences, oftentimes I will type notes into Evernote and then hit the record button while the speaker is speaking. So I can actually capture the moment, and it'll just insert it right into my document. It's really great. I recommend Evernote highly. You're going to keep a journal handy. You're going to be write, and be prepared to write short. You're not going to critique any of this writing ever, 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 ever. Don't do that. You will stop. You will quit. You'll give up. You'll be bummed. Don't critique your writing in this moment. Do not edit your writing in this moment. Just whatever comes into your brain, put it on paper. No editing. Just get it out there. In other words, don't correct for spelling unless it's just driving you crazy. You can correct if it's driving you crazy, but other than that, don't correct it. And then we do what's called jots and tittles. In other words, every little thing that you get on paper counts. Everything counts in the short, the write short go moment. So I'm going to give you a couple of techniques to help you in do this technique I call write short go. In write short go, I'm going to model it for you, and I'm going to ask that you consider doing this for yourself or asking a friend to help you to do this in the future. And I'll explain a little bit more what that looks like in a minute, and then I'll answer questions. By the way, I have a Q&A session planned for the end of our talk, you feel free to ask a question in the middle. But if I know I'm going to address it in two slides, I'll probably go, hey, I'm going to get there in two slides. So other than that, we have a ton of Q&A time at the end. All right. So this is called Write Short Go. And I'm going to give you a word or a phrase. And I'm going to ask you to practice what I just asked you to do. I'm going to ask you to just write. I'm going to ask you not to critique it. I'm going to ask you not to edit it. I'm going to ask you just everything that comes out of your brain, write it down. And so I'm going to give you a random word, super duper random, but it's going to trigger in everybody's brain differently. If you have no idea, no place to put this word in your mind, you can go ahead and do some creative writing on it. Make something up. I don't care. Go for it. But don't interrupt with words out loud, because it'll... and I teach a whole separate workshop on this, is the difference between your right brain and left brain. As soon as I move you into this moment, I need you to not say words out loud, because it stops. Your left brain will come in and take over if you let words come in through your ears. I teach, again, a whole workshop on that, how that works. But just trust me on that. So don't speak during this moment. Don't speak out loud to yourself. If you're a talker and you have to talk, just... So I'm going to give you a word. You're going to go. You might feel awesome about this word. You might feel neutral. You might be like, got nothing. Whatever it is, knock yourself out. Have fun with. Here's your word. Kohl's department store. Oh. Ready, go. Kohl's department store. Ready, go. About 15 seconds. Okay, wrap up the last word, letter, jot, or tittle that you have there. And draw a box around the word Kohl's, or if you didn't write it, go. Draw a box around that, draw a line, because we're going to move on without sharing. And I just want you to have that categorized and just draw a line, block that out. I'm going to give you another word, phrase. This time, while you're writing, I'm going to say a couple of prompting words are going to help you pull in other thoughts or ideas that maybe you didn't. Ignore me or embrace what I said and let that help you. Either way, it's up to you. So I'm going to give you a word and some silence, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts to help you kind of move forward with that. So you have in your new space to write. The word category is fast food. Fast food. Any emotions associated with that? Childhood experience? Sound, something recent. A specific place. All right, 15 seconds. All right, go ahead and box the category. Box up the category, fast food. Draw a line, separate that from our next topic. And our next topic is big. Here we go. No, that's not the topic. Everyone's thinking of the movie and the piano scene, I know. That is the descriptor of the topic. The topic is... spirituality. The topic is spirituality. All right, about 15 seconds. All right, put the final touch on your word or phrase. All right, so I'm going to ask you to move back through those three categories that you wrote. And what I'm going to have you do at this point is, as you read back through each of those categories, I'd like you to rank them, each word, each anything that you wrote, or the general group, in order of strongest to weakest. You can just put a plus, a minus, numbers. Some people just simply like to circle, and then circle darker to indicate intensity. But I'd like you to somehow grade the intensity of emotion that you feel associated with any word that you wrote. So again, a plus, a minus, a 1 through a 10, a circle, and then a super dark circle, whatever. So go back through your words, and now I'd like you to rank them on emotional weak strength or weakness. Like, when you read it, what emotion do you get off of it? Super crazy, joyful, exuberant, all the way down to destitute, awful, terrible experience, whatever it was. Super emotional vastness. It doesn't matter. So don't assign a moral value to your emotion. It could be bad emotion, good emotion, but no moral value to that. It's just strength. The strength of the weakness of that emotion. So go ahead and take a minute, just read through your words and somehow mark them for strength or weakness as you read through them. If it's neutral, just leave it alone. If it's weak, maybe a light circle. If it's super strong, maybe a super dark circle or double underline or triple or scratch and sniff stickers or whatever you got handy in your purse. All right. As the reason why, let me give you my rationale and then we're going to do some sharing. The reason why I have you move through this activity is to, number one, help you see that you can write and you can move thoughts onto your paper. That doesn't mean you're a writer yet. It just means you can get words on the paper. And you're going to learn how to string those together. We'll work on that in a little bit. But also because in finding your voice, you need to associate weight to your emotions on things. If you find yourself writing about something that doesn't move you, you just put that away. Don't write about that. If it doesn't move you, everybody else is going to be bored too. So don't write about that. Pause it and set it aside. If you wrote something and you're like, whoa, I have no idea. In and Out would be, you know, this much emotion associated with it, whatever. And it's so funny, you walked in this morning, Dan, with your In and Out shirt. I'm like, oh. And then another conversation got started about, I think, Kohl's or department stores or something in here. I'm like, oh, funny. We're going to be talking about both of those. I knew that would come up later. But anyway, so emotion is an important one to associate, number one. Number two, the next one to associate strength and weakness to is visual. Are you in that moment with Kohl's or the fast food or spirituality? Do you have a really strong picture in your brain about that? This is the novella. This is the película, the movie over your head. So if I look around this room right now, the way I visualize you is I actually see like little word bubbles over each of your head, basically. Like you're all cartoon characters in my world, in my special, special world. and I, as you were writing, I'm picturing the movie and whatever it is you're writing over your head. I want you to start thinking in that way. So visually, do you have a strong visual or weak visual? If you don't have a strong one, don't go there yet. Or push through it and see if you can get a stronger one. The next one is commonality. In writing this, do you feel like this relates well to other people? Do you have a sense that either someone was actually there with you in that moment, whatever you wrote down, or talked about, or wrote about? Is this a common or is this super duper unique to me? If it's really unique to me, will I be able to make it common for other people? And then finally, your worldview. Is there something in this moment that is going, it means something about who you are and why this was super strong for you or weak for you? That says probably something about your worldview. So move into that, tap that, and start considering how does your worldview impact your writing again? This is a macro workshop. We can spend an entire day talking about worldview and how it impacts our writing. And that's not what we're going to do today. I'm just going to leave you wanting more and then charge $500 for the next workshop. All right. So take a minute right now. And I'm not going to define your sharing time, but I would just like you, as you want to talk about what you just experienced in this writing process, share what you wrote, talk about the experience of writing it, but go ahead and break out into your groups and to share what we just went through in this writing.
You cool.